Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on your home of the Fighting Irish, 96.1 FM WSBT, presented by Sport Clips and Budweiser. Along with Sean Steyers, I'm Darren Pritchett. We're now joined by Bill Wagner from the Capital Gazette News. He covers Navy football. Bill, good to be with you. How are you this evening?
Great to hear from you guys. Doing well, thanks.
Good to hear from you as well. Let's start by talking about this Navy season. It's had some severe spikes, Bill. You win five in a row, then Navy loses three in a row. They bounce back to beat SMU 43-40 in their last outing. Any particular reason why there have been so many big peaks and valleys for this team?
Well, I think really what happened is that they won five in a row, but they didn't win convincingly. They were still trying to find themselves as a team. They beat Tulane by 2 points. They nipped Air Force by a point. So it's been they're not a dominant team in starting off 5-0. And then they ran into two ranked teams. Memphis and Central Florida are the two best teams in the American Athletic Conference. They are 17-1 between them. Both are nationally ranked, and looks as though they're going to meet in the American Athletic Conference Championship, barring an upset. So, they didn't lose to slouches in Memphis and Central Florida. And then the Temple game is the one outlier. That's the one game that has got people scratching their heads, because you would think a game the Navy should have won on paper. And based on the eye test, they were a better team than Temple. They just didn't play well. And that's kind of where it leaves you with a three-game losing streak.
Well, Bill, Navy has traditionally taken pretty good care of the ball, but they've struggled there this year. They've got a negative turnover ratio. Why do you think they've had so much problems there when that hasn't really been an issue, it seems like, in the past?
Oh, no, they've always taken great care of the ball. That's one of the kind of basic premises of their program, is that they don't beat themselves with turnovers, penalties, and such. So, yes, it's been a real problem, and the Navy coaching staff has tried to figure out why it has been the case as well. It's just not something Navy does. And quarterback Zach Abey, who was a starter for the first seven games of the season, he, was responsible for a lot of those turnovers, either fumbles or interceptions. So they put renewed emphasis on it, and they have done a little bit better here the last few games. They did not turn the ball over in the win over SMU, which was encouraging. So, it's just been one of those odd years that Navy has done. Very uncharacteristic of the midshipmen to have that many turnovers.
Bill Wagner is our guest on WSBT Radio. Bill, in your opinion, which quarterback do you believe would give Navy the best chance to win at Notre Dame Stadium on Saturday?
Oh, boy, that's a very difficult question. I think that if they could take the three quarterbacks they have and mold them into one, that would be the guy, because they're all very different. They all have their strengths and weaknesses. Zach Abey is a very strong, powerful inside runner, but he does not execute the perimeter element of the option as well as the coaching staff would like. That's not his strength. But, in terms of running inside between the tackles, the guy's got 1,200 yards. He had a couple games in which he rushed over 200 yards, so that's his strength. Decent thrower, but not great. And then, obviously, Garrett Lewis, his backup all season, is a really good passer. He's definitely the strongest passer of the three quarterbacks Navy has used. But, he's not exactly a great runner. He's not fast, nor is he powerful. So, he may actually execute the option a little bit better in terms of the fundamentals and the basic reading of the option. But, he's not a powerful runner like Amy, and he's not fast like Malcolm Perry. Now, Malcolm Perry's not really a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He was a slot back all season. They put him at quarterback just so that he would have the ball in his hands more often, because he's Navy's most dangerous runner, their most effective weapon, if you will. So, obviously Malcolm Perry has got great speed. He's very, elusive. He's got amazing moves. His ability to change direction at full speed. So, Malcolm is a completely different element than Abey or Lewis, but the reason he doesn't play quarterback is he's not a great passer. Last week they didn't throw a single pass. They didn't complete a single pass. He, they went to throw one pass, and he didn't want to throw, and he tried to pull it back, but it slipped out of his hand and ended up as an interception. So, you know, you don't have a lot of much of a passing threat with Malcolm in there.
Is the decision more with AB? Is it more with the injury to his shoulder, or is it performance-related?
Well, I think it was a combination of the two. He was hurt. He had a shoulder injury. He was not 100%. He's also apparently been nursing a hip injury that's been bothering him for a while. I mean, kid's taking a lot of hits. He was averaging like 34 carries a game at one point, and so he has really taken some punishment. So I think they just felt like he needed a week off. He needed time to heal to get back to 100%. But really, you know, Kenny Amatalolo decided during the Temple game, when Navy's offense was just so stagnant and kind of predictable and didn't really look like Navy that we're accustomed to seeing, he made that decision to go with Perry. He just felt like the team needed a spark, and Perry provided it. And obviously that was a bit of a surprise element, if you will. SMU probably wasn't really expecting to see Malcolm Perry, but I don't know that Malcolm Perry is the answer full-time at quarterback. He's very slightly built. He's listed at 185, but he really looks like he's about 165. the pounding that you take as a quarterback in the triple option, I don't know if Malcolm would hold up for an entire season as the quarterback. So, you know, it's kind of was just – it looked to me like a one-game thing. I could see Navy putting Malcolm back at quarterback, maybe against Army, because, you know, that's such an important game. But I don't know that Malcolm's a quarterback full-time. There's a reason he is playing slot back, and it's because he's not as rugged and physical as you need to be a triple-option quarterback.
Because they can do some different things, do you think there's a chance we could see at least two, if not all three of them this week?
Well, I do think that's a possibility. In fact, I broached that subject with offensive coordinator Ivan Jasper, and he said it's not out of the realm of the possibility. You know, you could kind of go with a thunder and lightning, if you will, with Zach Abey being your powerful inside runner. So you put him in for a possession, and you give a team a dose of power inside running, of a guy that can run you over or break tackles. Then you come back the next possession with a completely different type of player, a real change of pace. Malcolm, who's more of a perimeter threat, more of an outside runner, a speed guy. And then, you know, Lewis, what he's done well all year is he's a good passer. He throws a nice ball. He had two very beautiful touchdown passes toward the end of the Temple game. So that's his strength. So, yeah, I think they could use a combination of these three players.
Bill Wagner from the Capital Gazette News, our guest on WSBT Radio. This next question, Bill, you could probably answer in a book, so I'm going to ask for the Cliff Notes version of this answer. But just watching Navy's triple option attack, what do you think is the biggest mistake opponents screw up when they take on this Navy triple option attack? Is there a common theme that you see from time to time that opposing team defenses make a mistake in handling this offense?
Well, I think really what the biggest mistake any defensive coordinator can do is think that they figured out the answer. There's been a few defensive coordinators that had success for whatever reason. And frankly, what I've seen a lot of times when Navy struggles, it's their own undoing as opposed to what the opponent's doing. I mean, they've seen every possible defense that you can employ, and they've had success against every possible defense. Mm-hmm. So really, when they struggle offensively, it's either because the personnel on the other side of the ball is overwhelming. And I used the year that Navy played Notre Dame in Ireland. That was an incredible Notre Dame defense. And they had some guys on the defensive line that just dominated and completely changed the entire tenor of the game. But you know, the worst thing you can do is think you've got it figured out, because they have answers and they adjust to every possible defensive scheme. And so you've got to constantly be on your toes and be prepared to play this game of chess with Navy back and forth in terms of moves. So, you know, I don't think, you know, there's any major mistake. I mean, obviously, you can try to put too many guys up to the line of scrimmage, and they're very good at throwing the ball over your head. So if you try to commit too many guys to the run, that can be a mistake. But You know, I think for the most part, the biggest thing I would say is coming in thinking that you have figured it out.
That's interesting you say that, because Brian Kelly was saying earlier this week that when you play Navy, they'll bring out stuff that it's been like 2 years since they've seen it, and then all of a sudden you see it. Do you see a lot of that over the course of the season, just mixing stuff up and bringing out different wrinkles all the time?
All the time. And, for instance, they threw for the Air Force game, they ran a zone option, which is not even the type of option that Navy has traditionally run. That's something they kind of had in their back pocket, and for that game, which was so important, and Air Force has gotten so adept at defending Navy's triple option, which they see every year, that Navy kind of pulled out of their back pocket this unique zone option, which is a completely different offense, and they executed it extremely well, and that was one of the keys to victory. And, you know, the same thing, I think the year that they played Notre Dame in the Meadowlands in New Jersey, they made a slight change in terms of how they block. What they do is they call it how far their spreads are. The offensive linemen line up a certain distance apart, and they change that, and they change who they block. I mean, that's another thing that Navy can do is they, you know, sometimes the guard is supposed to block the linebacker, and then if that's not working or they feel a change is necessary, they'll tell the guard to block the defensive end. So they can change the blocking assignments, and that year in the Meadowlands, they had Notre Dame completely befuddled because they adjusted the offense in such a manner that Notre Dame wasn't quite sure what they were doing and how to counter it. And that's the year that Navy had that big rushing outing and beat Notre Dame in the Meadowlands. So that's kind of the way it is with the midshipmen. They have got a very big playbook and library of things that they can go to counter, you know, certain defensive looks.
Mm-hmm. That might have been the year that the Irish did not have a defender over the center. And the fullback just went absolutely berserk.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Bill.
Alexander Teach was his name.
There
right.
you go. Absolutely.
Was that Bob Diaco's first year, maybe?
I think it was, yeah, yes. Because I believe it.
Right.
I remember some comments about that.
Right. Well, after the game, Brian Kelly said that they were playing the Veer, which they weren't. It just, he wasn't even quite sure what they had just seen. Now, a year later, they figured it out. I think the next year was the game in Ireland where the Navy did nothing on offense. So,
Bill, my final question for you, just a couple of thoughts on the Navy defense taking on an Irish rushing attack. Other than two games, has been pretty dominant this year.
Well, this is obviously a very stiff challenge, and, you know, Navy is clearly outweighed at the line of scrimmage. This is a very, very good offensive line, and both Kendi Amatalolo and Ivan Jasper have talked about the respect they have for this offensive line. This is Notre Dame always has a good offensive line, but this is one of the better offensive lines Notre Dame's had in a while, and that I think you see the results are the rushing effort. And obviously, you know, Josh Adams is an outstanding tailback, a big, strong guy who can run you over. So this is a big challenge. Now, that being said, and this is kind of what Navy likes. It kind of fits their mentality of being tough and hard-nosed. I mean, they tend to play the run pretty well. I mean, frankly, when they've struggled here over the last few years, it's been against passing teams who have exposed them in pass coverage. So, you know, but there have been a few years when Notre Dame has decided to commit to the run against Navy, just based on the sheer size advantage, they can wear the midshipmen down. In fact, there's been a few years where Notre Dame was running all over Navy and then started passing the ball just because they wanted to have balance and say they passed as much as they ran, and it made no sense. They should have just kept running it down their throat. So I expect to see a heavy dose of Josh Adams this Saturday.
Interesting. My last question for you, Bill. They're doing the TV show, A Season with Navy Football. Notre Dame did it a couple of years ago on Showtime. One, have you seen much of it? And two, do you have a feel what Ken Niumatalolo thinks of it and if he'd do it again?
Oh, yeah, I did a big article about it. I mean, they showed up the very first day of practice. It was hard not to notice them. I mean, the very first practice of the season, and there's cameras everywhere, the boom microphones. So it was obvious something was going on. I asked the sports information director, Scott Strassmeyer, that very day, what is all that about? And they hadn't even announced that they would be doing the show. And so And then once it was formally announced, I did a more in-depth article. And obviously, Coach Niumatalolo saw it as a great recruiting tool. I mean, you can't buy this kind of exposure. I mean, as you mentioned, Notre Dame was the subject of this series, the Florida State football program. So, I mean, that's two perennial powers, big-time programs. So for Navy to be mentioned even in the breath of Notre Dame and Florida State is huge. And, you know, people watch this nationally, and, you know, it puts Navy at a whole nother level to see them being featured on this weekly national program. It's been great for recruiting. It's really not been a distraction. I know as soon as Navy lost three in a row, it was inevitable that somebody was going to say, well, they're starstruck by this show. I mean, it's really kind of silly. To be honest, it's gotten to the point where they're so omnipresent and around all the time that it's almost like you don't notice them. I go to practice every day, and they're just there. You know, we've gotten to know Peter Rogaris is kind of the on-site producer and the same guy, so that they're doing the cameramen and sound men. You know, they're just now kind of like embedded, and it's really not a distraction whatsoever. So, but that was an easy thing. I knew that was going to come up as soon as Navy lost a few, that there was going to be fans who thought the show was the reason.
Yep. He is Bill Wagner, covers the Midshipmen for the Capital Gazette News. Bill, safe travels to South Bend, and we greatly appreciate your time this evening, and we will see you on Saturday.
Yep, looking forward to it. Should be a great game.